Amen. Well, Evan was asking me if I would play a song on the piano sometime, and so maybe I'll do that. They got a brand new piano, and it's beckoning me. I'm going to ask Patty, do you have a favorite hymn you would like me to play? It Is Well With My Soul.
Thank you.
nice piano. The other song was We Are Standing on Holy Ground. I don't know if you recognized the other one as well. I'm going to ask for some help with the board, and I'd appreciate that. Just put it right here behind me. On the stage, yeah, be good. Get ready to read Zechariah 4, but don't use my mic. Use a mic that you won't. You got glasses. I'm gonna find this glass. We're gonna come to Zechariah 4 in about 5 minutes. So you got 5 minutes to get ready. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to your word tonight with gratefulness, asking by the Holy Spirit that you would cause our hearts to burn within us. Magnify your word in the name of Jesus tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. You're doing 70 years. You're doing 70 years. longer than you thought. The prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord, in 2 years I am breaking the yoke of the king of Babylon, and y'all are coming home." Jeremiah raised his hand. He says, 70 years.
Jerusalem, you know, that place that they tore every stone down and they torched the whole thing, and it's just a pile of rubbish and inhabited by jackals and owls. You know that forsaken, judged place? Let's make the trip 500 miles back to the rubble heap and rebuild the city. What do you say?
and they're looking at him like he's got two heads. Like, you know, now that we finally have a little bit of equilibrium here in Babylon, you want us to go back to that mess. Fact is, not all the captives come home. But God didn't send you into captivity for you to make it your home. He sent you there to rewrite your spiritual DNA, to remake your wineskin, to transform how you think, how you feel, how you walk, how you talk, how you live, change your priorities, change your values, change your motives, change your personality. He sent you into Babylon, into captivity, with an agenda in his heart to transform everything about you and then bring you back to the city of freedom and establish you again in the promises of God. Which is why the psalmist said in Psalm 137, if my right hand forgets you, O Jerusalem, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. I'm just declaring in Hilo tonight, God did not incarcerate me for me to make this prison my home. I'm not staying here. I'm coming home. He is my healer. He has not finished my story. And so stay tuned to this channel. I'm coming home. So here they come. Little flock of goats comes, adds up to about, if you can give me just a little bit more here. I know I get excited and then you bring me down, but try to keep me up if you can. Little flock of goats that pulls together and decides to make the trip ends up being 50,000 people. You're saying to yourself, 50,000 people, that ain't bad. Hey, you're Zerubbabel's trying to rebuild a whole nation. You try to rebuild a nation, 50,000 people get swallowed up just like that. And so Zerubbabel's looking at his team and getting depressed. Oh God, how are we ever going to do this with what we've got? And so here they come, making the trip back. First item on their agenda when they get back to Canaan, to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, establish the house of prayer, house of worship. The project starts. And then resistance rises up. The thing comes to a grinding halt. For 15, 16 years, nothing happens. And then a prophetic spirit comes upon two prophets. Their names are Haggai and Zechariah. Spirit of God comes on these two prophets, and they begin to declare, it is time to finish what you have started. It is time to build the temple. And under the prophetic declaration of these two prophets, Zerubbabel and the people, they pull their resources together and they recommence the construction of the temple. Now, with that as our historical background, I now want to come to a portion of Scripture that is written right in this period of time as the temple is in process of phase two getting finished. Come with me to Zechariah chapter 4. And Scott, if you would find another microphone to use, please. What translation do you have? King James? Okay. Zechariah 4. I'm using the New King James, but we're reading the King James right now.
And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bull upon the top of it and his seven lamps thereon and seven pipes to the seven lamps which were upon the top thereof and two olive trees by it, one into the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake to me, saying, This, the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And then he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
I am going to attempt to draw for you the best guess I have at what Zechariah saw. Verse 2. Thank you. Verse 2, he sees a lampstand with seven lamps. Start with one in the middle. For us left brain people, it has to be symmetrical. Okay. I'm going to put a little saucer at the base of each lamp to hold the oil. This is not a candlestick. It's not wax. It's a lampstand fed by oil. We're going to make this look a little bit like a menorah here. And you will find when you, as you absorb the aesthetic beauty of what's unfolding in front of you, that you'll have a tendency to hyperventilate. So just breathe slow and easy. Don't pass out. The bidding will start at $500. there's a lampstand, and it says there is a bowl on top of it. If you say so. Bowl on top of it. Then it says there's seven pipes going to the seven lamps. Here's a pipe coming down this lamp, pipe to this lamp. Here's a pipe to this lamp. Here a pipe. You're not going to go with me, are you? Okay. Seven pipes. Verse 3, there's two olive trees, one at the right and one at the left. And this is where my expertise really starts to manifest. Olive tree. You laugh. I've been to Israel. I've been to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they don't look anything like that. Okay. Now, we come to verse 12. There's two branches. Branch coming off this tree. Branch coming off this tree. With a receptacle here and a receptacle there. And then it says two gold pipes that are draining the oil. So, recap. Two olive trees, branch on each one, collecting oil that is dripping constantly out of the two branches, channeled down into a bowl. From the bowl, seven pipes that feed seven lamps of fire. You're looking at that and you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what the lampstand represents. If you do the textbooks, they will say the lampstand is Israel, the lampstand is the covenant people of God, the church. I'm in the in Zechariah 4 one day, and I was just meditating, and in the chapter, and felt that the Lord gave me an angle on it that was very meaningful to me. Now, I'm not saying that this interpretation is the only interpretation. In fact, I want to say the opposite. There's probably multiple interpretations for prophetic passages like this, so I just want to present one of probably several possible ways to view it. I'm just imagining the vision in my heart, and it comes to me like this. The lampstand is Zerubbabel. You're obviously deeply impacted by that revelation. The textbook answer, this olive tree is Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. This olive tree is Zerubbabel, the civilian leader, civic leader, chapter 4. Textbook answer. And lampstand is the people of God. And I was seeing the lampstand as Zerubbabel. Let me say it another way. The lampstand is the servant of the Lord. Let me say it another way. The lampstand is you. Now, the reason I had never viewed the lampstand as me, I was thrown off by the seven lamps. I knew that I had a lamp in my spirit, Book of Proverbs, but I had no concept of seven. And then I was reminded of the words of our Lord. He said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning," plural. Jesus says, "You got more than one lamp." I said, "Well, how many do I have?" And felt like the Lord took me to Revelation chapter 4. Verse 5. "And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." When I saw that phrase, "burning before the throne," something inside of me went, "Oh, Lord, that's what I want to do. I want to burn before your throne. I want to stand before you, gaze upon your glory, that Daniel 7 river of fire that flows from your throne, flowing down into my spirit, igniting me with the very flame of God. And as I behold you in your presence, I want to burn in the presence of God with the holy flame. Set me ablaze with the very fire that kindles your heart." I said, "Lord, I want to do like the Holy Spirit. I want to burn before the throne of God." Beloved, I believe this is our destiny. We have been chosen and called of God to stand in the presence of His holiness, gaze through a glass darkly. I'm really sick of the veil. I'm one of these people that has a case of severe veil frustration. What is this thing over my eyes? My God, I rip my eyes out. I want to see you. I have seen enough of you that I've got to see more. Lord, take away the veil. I want to behold you face to face. I want no hindrance, nothing in between us. I want to just gaze upon your glory and love you with the love. There's a day coming, beloved, when the bridegroom is going to lift the veil from the bride's face and we are going to see him face to face. Aren't you looking forward to the day when there is nothing between us and you see undiluted Jesus Christ for the first time in your life? Did you know that he's about as excited about that moment as you are? He said to the Father in John 17, "Father, I just want them to be with me, and I want them to see my glory." He's saying, "Abba, I can't hardly wait for the day when I take the veil down from off her face, and she sees me for the first time." He said, "I can hardly wait to see the look on your face when you see me for the first time, because you don't even know who you're getting married to." You had heard he was good, but when you see him, you'll say, Lord, nothing they said got me prepared for this moment. You are altogether more glorious than anything that was ever said about you, and I just can hardly wait for the day that I behold him face to face, the river of fire flowing into my spirit, setting me on fire with God-sized passions. Now the revelation of God, the glory of God pouring over my being as his fire ignites me. Now my fire responds to him and I burn, and there you are next to me, and there you are next to me, and we're going to stand on a sea of fire and gaze on his glory and burn in the presence of the Lamb. This is our destiny. But I'm like, you don't have to wait till then to burn. A glass darkly ain't so bad. Yes, we're looking through a dark glass, but even so, his glory is exhilarating and fascinating. And so even tonight, we stand on the sea of glass and we lift our lovesick eyes to our beloved, and we burn with the holy fire. And even through a glass darkly, we're being transformed by the power of what we're beholding. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. I said, Lord, if that Holy Spirit, who is seven fires, was to fill every part of my being, could it be possible that I could burn with the same seven fires that ignite the Holy Spirit? I think the answer is yes. I think you got seven fires. And the Holy Spirit wants to consume you and take you over and set you ablaze with all seven fires that ignite the heart of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. I got seven fires. Well, now you're like, what are the seven fires? How many want to know? I don't know. I got seven theories. You know how Bible students do, they just try to figure out, you know, and I understand the Isaiah 11 passage, but for me, I have not been able to just nail down an answer that really satisfies me. These are the seven fires. So I'm still peering into it. How many want to hear one of my theories? I just need one hand. That's all a preacher needs is one hand. The central flame, in my opinion, it's the fire of God's love. It's the flame that kindles the heart of God, that same fire that sent the Son to the cross to die for us, for God so loved the world, that fire that burns in the heart of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to shed that same love abroad in your heart and empower you to love Jesus Christ with the same passion with which the Father loves Jesus Christ, so that now, because it takes
takes God to love God. You want to love God with the same fire and power he's got in his heart? He says, you're going to need a little help if you want to love the way I do. So now here comes the fire from the altar to kindle your heart and set you ablaze by the power of the Spirit of God to enable you to love God the way that he loves God. And now there's the fire that burns and the Son of God is burning in your heart. Now the fire that kindles his eyes are kindling your eyes. Now the passions that are inflamed in the heart of the Son of God are now inflamed inside of your heart. And now, because the Father says, I am going to have a bride for my Son that is deserving of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's not giving up until he has a bride that is as passionate about his Son as he is about her. You said, how's he ever going to get that kind of a flame out of this bunch? Captivity. Has an amazing way of putting a zeal in your spirit. Just sticks you in prison, puts shackles on you, and now held against your will, you now have my attention, Lord. Yes, sir. What did you say now? The fire of God to kindle us with the passion and the love of Jesus Christ. In my understanding, is one of the seven. Do you want to hear another theory? Just one hand's all I need, thank you. I think one of the flames is the fire of the fear of the Lord. That flame that kindles the Holy Spirit, the fear of God. He wants to put that inside his people that we might burn with the fear of the Lord, like it kindles the very heart of God. You want to hear another theory? Want to see that hand? I think one of the flames is the fire of holiness. There is a flame to holiness that so kindles the Spirit of God, he is called the Holy Spirit. And that fiery holiness that causes the Spirit of God to burn before the throne, God wants to put that same living flame of holiness in the bride of Christ in this hour. Well, I've got some other theories, but I'm going to just let, here's your homework. Go home and figure out what are the seven fires. Because I'm like, Lord, I want to know what they are because I want to burn with them. You know, I want to have that same fire in me that's in the Holy Spirit. I really don't think that my seven theories are totally accurate, but I'm like, Lord, I don't really know what the seven fires are. I'm just like, whatever they are, I want all seven of them. Let the same seven flames that kindles the Spirit of God kindle my heart. It's the passion of my heart. So now, you're asking the question, well, what are those two olive trees? Now, you're asking the big question. This is the question. What are the olive trees? It's such an important question. It is the question of the centuries. It is the question of the chapter. In fact, when you come, let's go back. I'm in Revelation somehow. Let's go back here. Zechariah 4.
Zechariah sees the two olive trees for the first time, verse 3, first thing out of Zechariah's mouth, verse 4, he asks the angel, "What are these, my Lord?" And he's talking about the two trees. The angel answered and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And Zechariah says, "No, my Lord." So the angel answers and says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That's an awesome verse. That's a verse worth underlining. If you don't mind marking up your Bible, that's a good one to underline. Love that verse. One of my favorites. But it doesn't answer the question. Zechariah wasn't born yesterday, and he realizes the angel's just on a fast move on him, and he's like, okay, but he's not going to give up so fast, so he's going to come back and ask the question again. Let's find it here in verse 11. So Zechariah says, "Then I answered and said to the angel, 'What are these two olive trees?'" Let me be specific. I'm talking about the one at the right of the lampstand and the one at the left of the lampstand, in case you weren't quite sure which two trees I'm talking about. No answer. The angel doesn't answer him. Zechariah is not going to give up. He comes back the third time, verse 12. "And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?'" See, what Zechariah is asking is, what's the source? Okay, I get it. Flame of seven flames burning before the throne of God. The oil's coming from this bowl, but it's getting the oil from two trees. If I know the source of the oil, then maybe I can burn with seven fires. Zechariah is asking the most important question in the entire chapter. What's the source of that fire? How do I get that oil? Now, when you put it like that, to say Joshua and Zerubbabel doesn't really cut it for me. What are the two trees? How many want to know what the two trees are? I don't know. I have two theories. Anybody want to hear my two theories? I see that hand. Just test drive this. See what it does for your heart. The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. I'm wondering if you can see a mixing bowl effect. There's oil coming here, but it doesn't go direct from the trees to the fires. It goes through this mixing process here, and it gets all sloshed up, and then it flows down the pipes to the seven lamps. How many see the mixing bowl thing going on there? That's because for your lamps to get on fire, you need the Word mixed with the Spirit Just the word by itself doesn't cut it. Just the spirit by itself doesn't cut it. You put them both together and you got a combustible thing happening here now. How many have done the spirit without the word? The church has been experimenting with that for thousands, hundreds of years. Doing the spirit without the word. And oh, there they go. They're ricocheting off that wall. And now they're ricocheting off that wall. And boom, there they go. And oh, where are they now? And you do the spirit without the word, and it gets kind of flaky, and it just sort of gets out there. And because we need the word of God to get us grounded in truth so that we're not just kind of, you know, some flaky whatever out way out there. Have you ever done the word without the spirit? Oh, don't look so spiritual. I think every one of us has done the word without the spirit. You know, you get up in the morning and you're like, okay. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. What's with that? But you come back the next day because you know something. Try this again. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. What's with that? But you come back the next day because you know something. Cup of coffee this time, okay. Blah, 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 blah. But you come back the next day because you know something.
Please, please, please.
Blah, 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 blah. But you keep on persevering, you keep on coming back day after day after day, because here's what you know. If you will sow to the Spirit, you will eventually reap to the Spirit. It is impossible to sow and to sow and to sow to the secret place without eventually reaping from the secret place. It is impossible to sow into the Word and sow into the Word and sow into the Word without eventually it happening. You said, what is it? It is when the Spirit mixes with the Word. When the Spirit of God comes upon that Word. You've read that verse 50 times before, and this time, like it leaps off the page, that thing has your name on it, it just penetrates between soul and spirit like an arrow. It shoots into your heart, reads your mail, something inside you goes, my God, that thing feeds your spirit. It just takes a beeline right into your heart. You don't have to filter it. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to try to wrangle the thing down. It's got your address on it, sir. It comes direct down into your heart, and it touches in your... When you get the spirit mixing with the word, you don't have to try to make the thing fit your life because it's custom made for you. You know, so you come to the house of God, you hear the pastor's sermon, and you're like, if I take that illustration and
make a hard right, and then take another hard left. I guess it kind of applies to my life. When you get it in the secret place, you don't have to have any filters, no application. You don't have to wrestle the thing down. When you get it at the feet of Jesus, when the Spirit of God comes upon that word, it comes direct into your spirit. It edifies you, builds you up. It sets your lamps on fire. And now, seven flames start kindling and burning in the presence of God, because the living Spirit of God has come upon that word and ministered the life of God to your spirit. Beloved, you were made to live on the Word of God, not the Word without the Spirit, the Word mixed with the Spirit. You get the Word and the Spirit together, it's enough to set all seven of your flames on fire. There ain't nothing quite like sitting at His feet and hearing His word. You want to get on fire with the flame of God? You got to learn the secret of the secret place. Just plow in the Spirit day after day. So I'm at a place right now where I don't really care how many days I go with nothing. 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, 21 days, doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to keep on sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit, because I know one of these days it's going to happen. Beloved, once it happens for you, you're hooked. Once the I'm telling you, once the Spirit of God comes upon that thing and gives it to your heart, you become a secret place junkie. You're ruined. It's because this was the good part that Mary found, sitting at His feet, hearing His word, the Spirit of God mixing with that word, setting your flames on fire. Beloved, I'm talking about Christianity as the abundant life that Jesus came to provide us. He came to give us a source in Him. I feel sorry for Christians that go to church to get fed. They drag their carcass in once a week. Oxygen tank on their back. Barely make it into the back row. They're just like, please, 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 let the pastor say something today that will feed my spirit. You poor, emaciated, starving thing. Jesus didn't die to feed you one meal a week. He died to give you an overcoming, abundant life of sitting at His feet, hearing His word. Don't wait. Now, I appreciate that the pastor's got a word for the congregation. I believe in that. I believe God raises up pastors and leaders to give us a preceding word as a congregation. But if you're living on one meal a week, I am so sorry, sir. You have not been awakened to the glory of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His word. I'm not trying to beat up on you tonight. I'm trying to entice you. I wish that I could get your saliva glands working here tonight to entice you to the glory and the wonder of sitting at the feet of Jesus in the Word of God, pressing in, digging in, persevering, giving, sowing, 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 and then it happened. Oh, where's my pen? Underline that, baby. Yeah, a few arrows on that thing. I've had a few times when I've had such a good one, I call them seven burners. When you get a seven burner, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes you get a one burner, sometimes you get a three burner, sometimes you get a five burner. Every once in a while, you get a seven burner. When I get a seven burner, I can go for 40 days through the wilderness now on that word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You just set all seven of my flames ablaze with the holy fire with that word. Oh, man, I wish you could get addicted to what I'm talking about. I wish the Lord would give you a kiss by His Spirit and just download to you what I'm preaching about tonight. The glory of the Spirit of God coming upon that word, igniting it to your heart, giving you heartburn. That's what happened to the two guys on the road to Emmaus. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? No wonder your heart burned within you, sir. You had the living word Himself. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Jesus downloading Jesus direct to your hard drive. No wonder your heart burned within you, sir. Your heart would have burned too, Scott, if you'd been there that day. So I'm committed. I'm sold. Man, I'm addicted. I'm going to sit at His feet. I'm going to sow to the Word. And I'm not relenting until the Spirit of God will come upon that thing and set my seven flames on fire. I'm convinced, beloved, that I'm giving you the secret of the kingdom. This is how to get your heart on fire. This is how to militate. Every force in our culture is trying to put out your flame. Every device of darkness in this society is trying to extinguish your seven fires. And you have got to tap into the trees. You got to get the source of oil flowing down into you. This flame's kind of 30%. This flame's kind of 25%. That one's doing okay. This one's almost out of the... I said, Lord, I want to get all seven of my flames blazing on high. The problem is in the pipes. Tell your neighbor, the problem's in the pipes. Lord, I need some divine angioplasty on my pipes. This one's almost cut off. This one's working at 25%. That one's not doing so bad. I said, Lord, would you clean out my pipes? I want the flow of the Spirit of God and of the Word getting down into my flame that I might burn with the holy fire in the presence of God. Let me ask you a question, Evan. What would happen if on Sunday morning our whole worship team showed up to church with all seven flames? Got another question for you, Pastor. What would happen in this church if the whole congregation showed up on Sunday morning with seven flames? See, I'm really no longer interested in just 90 hot minutes on Sunday morning. I'm interested in igniting the body of Christ with a way to tap into the flow of the Holy Spirit through the Word so that we can live a 24/7 reality. See, I don't come to the house to get on fire. I come to the house because I am on fire. I don't come to the house to worship God. I come to the house because I have been worshiping God. I didn't start to worship at 10 a.m. when you kicked off the first song. No offense. But I've had a worship. I've got to have a song of my heart from the time my feet hit the floor this morning. When I got up this morning, I got covered with the blood of Jesus. I got sprinkled with blood. I've stepped into the throne room. I've been burning before God ever before this service started. In fact, I've had a little time in the Word this morning, and the Spirit of God came on that thing, gave me a 3-burner at 8:30 this morning. So I showed up to the house, and I got some fire in my spirit. And to be honest with you, I really don't care what song you sing. I like the song. I don't like the song. I know the song. I don't know the song. It's an Australia song. It's an England song. It's too fast. It's too slow. It's too high. It's too low. It's too new. It's too old. It's too major. It's too minor. I don't really care. Do I know the words? Do I don't know the words? Doesn't matter to me. Pull any song you want to. I'm going to worship God. Because I don't worship because you happen to pull out my favorite song. If I don't know the song, makes no difference to me. I'm over here, I'm gazing on the glory of God. I'm standing on the sea of glass. I'm beholding the Lamb in His beauty, as through a glass darkly, but it's still pretty glorious for me. And I got a fire in my spirit, and I've been abiding in the Word all week. And in fact, what was that verse again? Oh, man. There it is. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And I'm burning before my God, so go ahead and sing any song you want. Sing Mary Had a Little Lamb for all I care. In fact, you don't even have to give me a song. Just start with a note. All I need is a note. And I'm in the throne room of God because I have found the secret. It is living in the presence of God, living in His Word, the Spirit of God coming upon that Word. Say, I'm just talking this right now. Finding the secret of the centuries. Beloved, I'm trying to download to you right now the thing that the greatest saints have pressed into over the centuries. You look at the biographies of the greatest saints, their autobiographies, the common question they all had is, how do you abide in Christ? That's what this is all about. How do I find an abiding relationship with God where the life of God is flowing into my spirit, setting my heart on fire so that I burn with the living reality of a burning, alive heart in the presence of a burning God? How do I live in that kind of a reality 24/7? You're not the only one that's asked that question. Zechariah was asking the question. The saints of all ages have asked the question. It's the question of the hour. How do I abide in Christ? How do I live in a place where my heart is alive in the Spirit? Beloved, you do not have to settle for a dead heart. You don't have to. Come to the house of God, and Evan and the team feel like they're doing pulmonary resuscitation. Like, what can we do to get some life flow? Beloved, you can live with a burning heart in the presence of God 24/7. I'm talking about an invitation that God has given to every one of us to sit at His feet. Get rid of the stuff that competes with it. Get rid of the stuff that distracts you from it. Get rid of the stuff that robs you. Anything that robs you of what I'm preaching about tonight is the enemy, capital E. Take on the enemies of your soul and say, by the grace of God, I am coming after what the preacher's talking about. I want that. I want the secret of the centuries. I want to find out, how do I live in a burning, fiery, intimate, daily, passionate, passionate love relationship with my Lord. It happens when the Spirit comes upon the Word and brings you alive to the reality of the truth of Jesus Christ. And I wish that I could talk like this to the whole body of Christ. Greatest desire of my heart is that you might be awakened to what I'm talking about tonight. I'm saying, Lord, what does it take for us to get awakened to this? Captivity. Captivity will do it. I'm not saying captivity's the only way, but if you're a tough nut, like yours truly, you might need a little help. Just talking from my heart before the restriction that came into my life. I was 35 when this happened. I was a pastor. I was disciplined. I was up early every morning. I read a different translation of the Bible every year. I was committed. I studied. I was after the thing. But I wasn't awakened to the Word. And I consider it a kindness from God to say, son, I love you so much. I'm going to put some shackles on your life that is going to send your desperation levels through the ceiling, that's going to cause you to come after me with such a desperation and a passion. You're going to start to devour the Word of God like you never have. And one of these days, you are going to tap into the secret of the centuries. One of these days, my Spirit's going to come upon that Word and feed your spirit and put hope into your heart. And beloved, when you're in captivity and you're desperate for an answer, and the Spirit of God comes on that Word and feeds your spirit and makes you alive to the reality of His promise and His truth and His hope, now you are feeding on something that will give, set your flame on fire and will empower you to walk through the darkest places of life. And I have discovered that when nothing makes sense and your mind, you feel like you're losing your mind and your pain levels are out of control, there is nothing quite like a living Word from the mouth of God to satisfy your heart, settle your spirit, make you lovesick, and feed you and give you seven fires that burn in the presence of God. And I have touched something that I longed for but never knew how to touch it. No, I'm not up here to say I've arrived. I just said I've touched it. I'm like, okay, I'm seeing it now. And I'm after this thing. What time is it? Okay. I don't know. I don't even know when I started. I'm just saying, Lord, help me to express this in a way that we can just get our fingers around this thing. This is what I believe God did with Joseph. Stuck him in prison, made him absolutely desperate. My God, I am never going to get out of here. I'm going to die in this prison. I've been loving you, serving you, doing everything I know to do according to your Word. It's all backfired in my face, and I am rotting in this Egyptian prison.
Holy Spirit's just like, deeper. Joseph starts reaching in the Spirit. Oh my God, you got to talk to me. I'm going to lose my mind. Holy Spirit's deeper, son. God, what's going on here? I don't understand. Deeper. And Joseph just pressing deeper and deeper. And there came a day when Joseph found the source. Beloved, there is a river in God that runs so deep. It's deeper than all the seasons of life. It goes deeper than summer, spring, harvest. No matter the rain season, dry season, doesn't matter. There's a river in God that when you tap into it, it'll carry you through every season of life. There is a source in the Spirit. It is called abiding in Christ. You get those roots going deep enough in God, and you will find a source in the Word and in the Spirit that will carry you through the longest drought of your life. And Joseph found the river. God said, Joseph, you got to find a source in me. What I have got for you, son, is so much greater than all your skill and ability. You're smart, but not smart. You're talented, but you're not talented enough for what I got for you, son. You got to find a source that goes way beyond your giftings and talent. You have got to find, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Because do you want to be just the leader of just a feeder of a household, or do you want to be a feeder of nations? God's turning Joseph into a feeder of nations, but in order to get him to that place, he's got to find a source in God. How does Joseph find that source? Only one way to teach you, son. Stick you in that prison. Desperation levels through the roof. And now, as you press into me with all your heart, I will teach you how to find that. One more illustration, and I'm finished. Joseph for the guys, Anna for the gals, and I'm done. This little gal, I call her One Talent Anna. Could I have just a little more? Is it possible? Thank you. This little gal in the Bible that after 7 years of marriage, God took her husband's life. And she found herself in a prison of sorts, restricted against her will, her husband taken, now no children, no husband, no one to provide for her. My husband away from me, I am childless, I am barren, and now Anna has the choice of a lifetime. Do I become angry and bitter and resentful? Or do I set my face after my God and pursue him like I never have? And Anna decided to go the right direction. She set her heart on her God and said, God, I don't understand you right now. You've just devastated my dreams. You have just wiped out everything I've ever thought I'd live for. The one thing I can do, you've crushed. I can't figure this out. You put something in my heart and then you just totally devastated. I don't get it. But I'm coming after you until you talk to me. And little Anna, she just decides to go after the Spirit of God and pressing into the heart of God. And she camps herself out in the temple and just, God, you got to talk to me. The weeks turn into months. The months turn into years. Somebody says, oh, what's with the lady in the corner? Somebody says, well, yeah, that's Anna. Oh, Anna, yeah. Well, like, what's her deal? She just, you know, she's always in the corner there, and I just see her, like, do this every once in a while, and, oh, you haven't heard? Heard what? She lost her husband. so sad, yeah. Man, I'm sorry. When did that happen? Oh, it's been years now. Yeah. You know, some people just don't know how to cope with grief. They just don't know how to process. And the poor thing has never recovered. And it's just a waste of a life. It's really sad. They don't know what's going on. This little gal's got a fire in her spirit. She's abiding in the presence of God. She's living 24/7 before her God. She's pressing into the spirit. She's putting down roots deeper than she ever has. My God, what is happening here? Why have you just devastated my life? I love you, but who are you? I love you, but what are your ways? I love you, but what? And she starts coming after her God with all her heart. And one day, she hears the voice. Yes, Lord. Fasting. Oof. Okay. Night and day. Oof. All right, Lord. And she says yes to the invitation. She turns the fire up 7 times hotter. Now she's fasting in prayer, ministering to the Lord, pouring her life out 24/7. The weeks churning into months, churning into years. And she hears the voice again. My God. Messiah. Messiah. Oh, Messiah. And she starts to enter into a travail. She says, man, I've never had a baby, but man, this sure feels like it. What is happening here? And she starts pushing in the spirit and travailing, and she is giving birth in the spirit, and one day she's going to hold in her hands the very thing that she has birthed through her intercession, and now she holds the child, the Son of God Himself, in her hands. She birthed the Messiah, because she would not allow the incarceration to make her bitter, but she said, I'm going to come after you, my God, until you show me the purpose that you have got for my life. Beloved, the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable, and when He calls you to be a mother in Israel, He doesn't just crush that thing without resurrecting it. A little Anna, she could have had 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids running around a house, but God says, I love you too much for that, Anna. I'm going to stick you in prison, put your desperation levels on 10, get you pressing into my heart until you find the source. Beloved, there is a source in God that is to be found. The Word mixing with the Spirit setting your heart on fire, and Anna found a source in God that caused her to burn in the presence of God with a living flame, and she became not simply a mother of a household, but the mother of the household of faith with a quiver of multiple millions of children, because she brought to birth through her intercession the Redeemer of Israel. Beloved, if God ever would cause your vision to be crushed, if He would ever bring hindrance and restriction into your life to put you, as it were, into a prison against your will, you can become bitter, you can get angry and be a casualty, or you can set yourself after your God and so to the Spirit, until you find the source in God. There is a source, beloved, that once you find it, you have found the source of the centuries. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord, and I, my heart, cry for us in Hilo tonight. My God, would you help your people to find the source that the preacher's talking about tonight? Would you teach us how to find a place in you where the Spirit and the Word mix together to set our hearts on fire? Help us, Abba Father, to find
find that living relationship with you in the secret place where we draw on the life of God and our hearts burn within us with a holy flame. Would you bow your hearts before the Lord? Just close yourself in with God. Respond to Him however you desire to. I think you can tell that this word tonight, it's not the kind of word that you just come to the altar and seal the deal. This is, the altar call is not tonight. The altar call is going to be tomorrow morning and the morning after that and the day. I am preaching a lifestyle message tonight. The Spirit of God is calling and beckoning us to explore what it means to live in the Spirit, to live in the Word, to abide in His presence, and to have a living flame. And I know that I'm touching on an area that most of us in the room find frustrating. If there's anything that we share a frustration, it's wishing that our secret life in God was more meaningful. But I'm just by the Spirit of God wanting to put some fresh zeal in you and fire in your heart to say, go after this thing, press into it. Maybe God will even help you a little bit and bring some restriction into your life. You won't enjoy the chains, but perhaps He'll love you enough to remove the options that rob you of the very thing your heart longs for. Lord Jesus, teach us how to abide in You. Give us the secrets of a burning heart in Your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. I minister this word because I desire to bring hope. I believe there are some in the house tonight. You've been in a place of restriction. You haven't totally understood what it's all about. And tonight, light bulbs are going off in your spirit. God has a purpose for this season. He is after something. The restriction is actually a kindness of His heart because He wants to train you in the school of the Spirit. You were so distracted. You were so busy. You were so torn. You were so driven with your ministry agenda. And the Lord just shut your ministry down in kindness to say, it's not running in ministry, it's coming after My heart and knowing Me. And from the fruitfulness of an abiding love relationship, there will come a fruitfulness from your life that will far exceed every effort you could possibly expend apart from Me. For without Me, you can do nothing. Lord Jesus, I come to You now. I come to You, Lord. I'm feeling weak. But I long for the living reality that I've seen in this word tonight to burn before You with seven fires. Give it to me, Lord. Teach me. Teach me how to abide in You. May the Lord hear that reach of your spirit. The Lord bless you. Evan, if you want to just give us a song to express our response, you're welcome.
We wait on You, O God. as a fire. Burn us from within. All our desire we lay down again. We welcome you. As a fire, burn us from within, burn us from within, all our desires, all our desires, we lay down again, we lay down again, we welcome you, we welcome you. We welcome you, Lord. Come as a fire, burn us from within. All our desires we lay down again. Come as a fire, from within. All our desires burn us from within. See that I will burn. I will burn. I will burn for you. I will. And I will burn for you. And I will burn. I will burn for you.
Praise God. Boy, that's a whole lot. I know that is going on in our hearts about what was shared here this last hour or so. And I'm not going to dare to try to add on any to it because I can't. I think what was said is so much that we're just going to have to take it to heart for ourselves. I think the altar call is right now what's going on in your heart. That's what you got to respond to. We need more than just a prayer or a blessing or an experience for the moment. We need to go ahead and take this and say, Lord, how are we going to turn this into a lifestyle? And enough was said tonight for us to take home, to be responsible and accountable to. Amen. And however your theology is tonight and how things happen in your life, listen, the bottom line is this. Our response needs to be to God. Our response needs to be to God, that we need to be desperate to God and serve God. Amen. And remember that. Let's make our response to God and make sure that we can be desperate enough to reach out for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's wonderful. We're going to take a special offering tonight. We can get ready. Go ahead and ushers pass out the envelopes. I'm going to just ask everybody to just participate. Let's be generous. We're going to, whatever the Lord lays in your heart, let's make an investment, not just in the ministry that Bob Sorge is about doing, but let's make an investment also back in what God is going to be doing in our lives. We don't realize so many times it's